The Unalaska City Council is called to order at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, March 12, 2024. I'll ask Councilman Luby to read the mission statement.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. City Clerk, may I have a roll call?
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Longo?
Here.
Mr. Tungle?
Here.
Mr. Tudikoff?
Here. We do have a quorum. Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance led by Councilman Coleman. Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Welcome all the visitors within the chambers and those that are on the telephone or Zoom. Thank you for being here this evening. I would like to at this time recognize Mr. Scott Goodman, standing in the back there. He'll be speaking to the council regarding the Bering Sea Fisheries Research Foundation. Thank you for being here this evening. Look forward to hearing it. Okay. At this time, please join me as I give awards and a presentation. Sean. Mr. Sean Peters. Yeah, you're good right there. The City of Unalaska recognizes your 10-year continuous service with the city, starting as a lifeguard with PCR Aquatic Center in 2014, and now as Animal Control Officer at the Department of Public Safety since 2022. Your professionalism, knowledge, skills, and dedication has been of exceptional value to the City of Unalaska. Your fellow staff members, Unalaska City Council, and the community, thank you for your service to the city.
What? Thank you all. It's been a real honor to be here, to grow up here my whole life, and to be a part of the city for the past 10 years. It's just greatly appreciate each and every one of you, and I plan on continuing to stay with the city indefinitely, and just thank you all. It's been a real honor. I'm really have a great privilege to live and work out here.
Thank you, Sean. I also have a pin for you, a 10-year pin. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Again, thank you, Sean, and good job. Okay, at this time, may I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda, please?
I make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Nicholson and seconded by Councilman Longo. Hearing no objection, the agenda will be adopted. The agenda is adopted without objection. Next item is approval of minutes of previous meeting. We have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of the February 27, 2024 meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of February 27, 2024.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Louie, seconded by Councilman Coleman. Sorry. Hearing no objection, the proposed minutes are approved. Next item on our agenda are reports. First on our list is Mr. Scott Goodman, Executive Director of the Bering Sea Fisheries Research Foundation.
Thank you for an opportunity to come up here again and have it be coincident with your guys' council meeting. So thank you for this opportunity. I have just a few slides briefly. My name is Scott Goodman. I'm executive director to BSFRF, and we are the Bering Sea Fisheries Research Foundation. And we are a nonprofit research group formed most directly by the Bering Sea crabbers and the processors and the communities that support the crab industry, which importantly has included yourself for about 10 or 12 years, I believe. So this is a good opportunity for a brief update on some research that's occurring here within the next 48 hours or so. So we're calling our next opportunity the collaborative pot sampling number 2, or CPS2. And we are one of our big opportunities here is to do important crab research that's useful right now and to fill gaps in the information used for crab management. We're very aware of the economic consequences of some of the season closures and what sort of straits that puts the crabbers in right now. So this is an opportunity to use them because they're not fishing and to go do some research. So this is the second of our surveys. We put out an announcement earlier this year to find out who may be interested, and we had about 20 boats that said yes, they'd like to be interested in doing this work. We chose 2 of them, and we chose 2 alternates, and those are the boats that are coming up and ready to go here in the next 48 hours. Next one there. So this work is a continuation of what we did in March and April of this last year. So this is the second of 2 so far. We added 1 boat because of some of the biological information that we collected. We had about 75% males on the grounds in March and April of this last year. So we added a trawler to try and see if that might be something to do with molting females that didn't want to go into the pots. So we have 2 crabbers and 1 trawler that are on board for this one. This has some important camera and gear work and other sampling included. We have 11 scientists that are up for this one, including myself. So we have 3 folks on the crabber, first crabber, 3 folks on the second one, and then 5 on the trawler. Next one, please. And really what this is all about is evaluating what's going on with Bristol Bay Red King crab at a time of year where we don't really know. There hasn't been a lot of work to do seasonal distribution surveys. So this is a second one. Very likely of something like a 4 or 5 year window that we are going to try and do this. And what you're looking at here briefly is a map showing some of the regulatory areas. You're seeing the red box in the middle, which is called the Red King Crab Savings Area. And the green box that is bounded by a set of green polygons there, that's where we're sampling. So it encompasses the Red King Crab Savings Area. And that also sits within what's called Zone 1 for the Bering Sea crab regulatory boundaries. And that larger boundary goes out to cover the whole district, which is considered Bristol Bay Red King Crab District. Next one. So what we've done for this one and this the one last year and the ones looking forward is to set up a grid that we can go out and do some pot sampling. So you're looking at a map from the 2 boats work last year, which we hired the Silver Spray and the Summer Bay. And this one, you see two sets of colors here. One boat covered the green, one boat covered the tan. Some were missing. At the end of the year, we had, end of the survey, we had some that we chose to omit given time and weather. But we covered about 95% of what we wanted to cover, and that's what we're doing again this year. I would note quickly that our trawl sampling is offset. It's a similar grid, and their stations are about 10 miles apart, so it's not quite as high density as the pots, but it's intended, again, to get at that distribution of both males and females with some sense of equality. Next one. What we saw this last spring was a distribution that is represented by something like this. And this map shows you a bubble plot of where we saw all crab. And really, this doesn't give you the whole story. It gives you just where we saw crab and where they were in relative densities to each other. So you see much, much more crab up east of the box. You see kind of a high density area in the lower portion of the box, which is called the sub area. And then you see far less crab in the southwest part, southwest portion of the whole sampling grid, including that whole westernmost transect on the left-hand side of the map, which hardly had any crab. Next one, please. So just as equally important part of the picture that we're putting together here is not just the densities of crab, but how they line up with temperature. And everybody knows what's going on with some of the impacts of changing ecosystems these days. And so we have two plots. The left side is male distribution. These are mature males relative to temperature. And the right-hand side is females, mature females relative to temperature. So it's sort of splitting out that last plot and looking at the impact of temperature and density together. And what you can see just pretty clearly here is that the warmer water, which is intruding from the bottom left or the southwest corner of our sampling grid, has far less crab, if any. And you can see that there's a general pattern of kind of a preferred water temperature that goes along with the densities of crab here. So this is one of those important pieces of information, very key to assessing what's going on with the stock itself, as it is unfortunately continuing to decline. And is there something more that we can do to line up management options to help protect this important stock? Next one, please. So I mentioned that an important part of this is to get crabbers out there working and helping with the research. This is a great shot from one of our scientists from this early first shot from March and April of last year with both the silver spray and the summer bay. Both happened to be taken on some very nice weather days, which I wish we had right now. Next shot, please. This is a shot of one of our key scientists, collaborators, with Noah Kodiak, gal in the bottom right, working closely with a couple of our fishermen together on measuring Bristol Bay Red King crab from this last year's work. Next, please. And to finish up with, really just an important note on a second part of this, which is that we've taken quite a bit of effort and money over the last 4 to 5 years to put out tags on crabs. And this has not been old style or traditional tags, which were basically just plastic spaghetti tags that had to be recovered during a fishery. Each of these were smart tags. And so there were two kinds. I think I may have reported directly to you about this before when we had sail drones out searching for crabs about 3 or 4 years ago. But the majority of these crabs are satellite tags. So these are placed on the crab, and you can see in the inset of the map, you see a tag that has a harness and it's kind of dangling off the back of the carapace there. Each of those tags gets programmed to release at a particular time after the crab is tagged and put back in the water. So it walks around for a few months. And then at the time when the sensor reaches its release time, it pops to the surface and hopefully is able to transmit that data to a satellite, and then we recover it and we get sort of the end point of where the crab moved to from when it was tagged. And in that map down below, you can kind of see all these tags and all these releases and recoveries. And you see that this is starting to put together the seasonal manner in which groups of crab, either juvenile males or mature males or juvenile females and males, or even just the big guys, the legal ones, move in a particular way. It's an important part of our putting the pieces together here with just the going out and doing a snapshot from the pot sampling and from the trawl sampling. So we put these pieces together to help inform what next steps might be. And next one, please. And I think that is all I have. I would note for the council that currently the Vester Allen, the Seabrook and the Arctic Lady are all geared up and ready to go. We're at three different places here in town, but we're looking at where the ice is at and this northerly system that seems to be persisting. So we're kind of on a weather standby for probably something like 48 hours before we head out. And I wanted to note again that I'm free for questions anytime. You may have them. If there's any right now, I could take them. Otherwise, I'm open for emails. And our staff, which has grown a little bit since some of the collapse and the evident declines in the stocks, we have Dr. Gary Stauffer, Dr. Gordon Cruz, Madison Heller-Shipley, who works directly with me, and then Dr. Tim Heller, too. So we're open for providing feedback as appropriate at any time. Thank you again for the opportunity.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate that information. I'll ask the council if they have any questions or comments. Councilman Coleman.
Just a comment. I just want to say kudos to industry for the collaborative efforts you were doing. I know it did wonders for Aleutians Golden King to reassess those stocks and look at, you know, reassessing a TAC and everything for that.
Yep.
So it's a great program. I'd like to see it. And yeah, good luck with that. I've seen the tags. I've seen the new release tags on that. And
yeah,
hopefully those are, again, you know, it's all part of getting that information to the SSC and seeing if they can come up with a better model and,
yep,
you know, better way of looking things. So thank you again.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Tungle.
Yeah. So how many did you tag last year?
We thank you for the question. He's asking how many did we tag, and I believe we put out about 140 tags last year. We're not putting any out during this current work. We're saving those to be deployed during the upcoming NOAA survey, which is June and July and August of this year. But overall, we've probably got something around 1,200 tags that have been placed and recovered, which is pretty high in terms of samples of crab or samples of tagged animals, really. Sometimes entire projects go with 30 or 40 or 50, and some of the complexity of crab movement means that we just do a little bit more. So we've done a lot, and we're still continuing with it. I would say we still have some continued tagging work to do.
So they travel maybe far cold, on a cold water or warm water?
Yeah, I haven't included a slide that shows some of the complex movements. There's definitely some directions that they go at different times of the year, depending on the water temperature. And we're trying to understand, you know, do they all come to the center of Bristol Bay to congregate for mating and molting? And what happens after that? Do the females move off into the shallow water, or do the males move off into the deep water? So there's a number of different pieces there that we're getting closer to understanding.
Thank you.
Tags are an important part of it. Yeah.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle. Any further questions or comments? Anybody online? Okay, thank you, Mr. Goodman. Appreciate the information and look forward to a better result this year.
Thank you again for the opportunity. Appreciate that.
Okay, next item. Next on our list is we have the city manager's report. I'll turn this over to the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. Before you have my city manager report, and I will just point out a few things on there. I'm happy to report that we've made the community transportation plan list of statewide projects for the STIP with Captain's Bay Road. You can see there, I think, about 10 projects that were announced for that. And I think it's about $13 million. So those efforts that our staff and our delegation has been making with all of our elected officials have been paying off. So kudos to everyone involved with that. See, we've announced that we are pursuing the U.S. EPA climate pollution reduction grant from the EPA, awards up to $500 million. We're pursuing that in connection with our efforts with our partners to pursue the McCushion Geothermal Project. Those applications are due on April 1st. Just returned from our Juneau lobbying trip, and I also had, I think I failed to put in here also, Swampsea was at the tail end of that. We met with numerous of our elected officials at the state, both reps and senators, I think at least a dozen. I know I had trouble keeping up with the mayor and and Councilman Bong, myself. Diane had us on a pretty tight schedule. And I think those efforts really do bear fruit for us when we go and meet with them. I will say one of the number one things they were interested in besides our priorities were, you know, what is happening with the geothermal project. And so I was able to share with them what we're doing. And the last I'll probably point out is that we are going to be interviewing two DPU candidates for the Public Utilities Director on March 19th. So we have two candidates. Interviews are scheduled. We have a team of people who are going to sit in on those, and I'll give you more information as the time comes. If we invite someone out, certainly everyone will meet them. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Bill. Councilman Coleman?
I think it's just a comment on this. Outside of our council and mayor going to these trips, I do appreciate our directors attending associations, outside grouping, you know, being part of different associations that promote the city. I mean, I see the Chief Knowles went, but I know other directors go, you know, Ports goes, and so I appreciate your promotion of that, and I hope other directors are able to, you know, get involved with other associations, like I said, to help promote cities and our interests. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
Hey, thank you, Councilman Coleman. Anyone? Council members have comments? Councilman Tungle?
I just want to make a statement on that lobby trip. I never seen so many legislatures and senators in one day that we met. It was really uprising that they listened to us really good, and they know what we need, being the number one fishing port in the nation. And they're really showing a big support on what we are going up there with our priorities. And we got introduced on the floor of the state representative and by Bryce Edgman. And it was, everybody came up to us and congratulating us on what we are doing in this community, where they're really hearing our community, how good we're doing in here. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle. Any further questions for the city manager on his report? Thank you, Bill. Good job in Juneau, Mr. Tungle. Well, okay, good. Okay, lastly on our reports is the board and commissions, the library and advisory committee. There'll be no report, but it's included in a packet for council's information. Any questions or comments on that report? Okay. Next item is the community input and announcements. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, state your name. Welcome.
Roger Blakely, PCR director. Just wanted to let you all know that our annual Easter egg hunt will take place on Saturday, March 30th at Sitka Spruce Park. Times vary for age groups, so look at the PCR app or flyers at the stores or at the PCR for your children. But it's an annual event. Kind of fun, has tradition. Actually has some fun times with it too. So anyway, come out and be part of the Easter egg hunt.
Hi, I'm Lynn Crane. On behalf of the Museum of the Aleutians, I want to let you know that this Saturday, March 16th at 12 noon, you can bring a bag lunch and attend the lunch and learn about the archaeology of the Aleutians. Join the museum at the community room at the Unalaska Public Library and learn from DACTA Virginia Hatfield, and they will also provide light snacks. On behalf of USAFE, After speaking with some of my sister nonprofit directors and looking at the town schedule, we decided that the Foraker training we had planned for this month really wouldn't benefit enough people to make it worthwhile. So we're looking at later in the year. So I'll keep you advised of that. And we're working with the University of Alaska to bring out some medical professionals to do some training on forensic evidence gathering with local medical folks. That will be for not just sexual assaults, but other types of assault as well, because we have all kinds of assaults here in town. And USAVE is holding our first live in-person soup-off on Saturday, March 30th. It's a really fun event. I really hope to see you all there. Not only will you have some great food and have a chance to bid on some great auction items, but it's also a chance to support USAVE, which is a really important organization in town. We help people. That's really all we do. And if you've never been to a soup-off before, what are you even doing with your life? So if you have any questions, please call me at 907-581-1500. Also, we need volunteer crisis line advocates and paid shelter advocates. There's a class you can take to start the process of the training that's required. If you'd like to know more about that, please call me 907-581-1500. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good evening, Catherine McGlashan, Unalaska Visitors Bureau. Our annual fundraiser, another fundraiser, is April 27th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Grand Aleutian. The tickets are in, so they are at the office. So please stop by, call us 581-2612. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Any further announcements? City Clerk, are there comments or anyone on Zoom, telephone?
No, sir, but I would like to remind folks who haven't submitted their POFD to please submit it. The deadline is March 15, and if you fail to submit it on time, they charge a $10 late fee per day. So please submit your form in person at the City Clerk's office, or you may also submit it online through your My Alaska account. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Remind the council, trying to get it in by March 15th, your APOC report. Okay. Next item is public comments on agenda items. This is a time for members of the public provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda. If they don't want to wait until the item comes up for a regular agenda, to comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Please come to the podium and state your name. You have 3 minutes. Okay, anyone else on Zoom?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on. Next item is public comment on public hearing. All right, next item is a public hearing. Members of the public may testify for any item set for public hearing. There's a 3-minute time limit per person. Come to the podium and state your name. Okay, as we first one up is the public hearing is now open for ordinance 2024-04, amending Unalaska Code of Ordinance number 3.40.040 to adopt a new pay range matrix and amending 3.40050 basis of pay rates is now open. Does anyone present wish to speak? City Clerk, were there any written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or the phone wish to speak?
There were no written comments, sir, and no one on Zoom would like to speak.
Thank you. Public hearing is now closed on ordinance 2024-04. Next item is public hearing for Ordinance 2024-05, creating a budget amendment number 5 to the fiscal year 2024 budget to fund increases in wages, fringe benefits, and associated State of Alaska PERS contribution for unrepresented employees is now open. Does anyone present wish to speak? City Clerk, were written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or phone wish to speak?
There were no written comments submitted, sir, and no one indicated that they would like to speak.
Thank you very much. Public hearing is now closed on Ordinance 2024-05. We're now closed on the public hearing process. We're now on the regular agenda. Persons wishing to speak on the regular item, agenda items, must sign up with City Clerk. 3-minute time limit per person. First item is item A, Ordinance 2024-04, second reading, amending Unalaska Code of Ordinance 3.40040 to adopt the new pay range matrix and amending 3.40050 basis of pay rates. I have a motion and a second to adopt Ordinance 2024-04.
I make a motion to adopt Ordinance 2024-04.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungo, second by Councilman Longo. I'll turn this over for the city manager to introduce.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Tonight we have, this is the second reading, and we've just had the public hearing on the amendment to adopt the new pay range and matrix. And obviously, subsequent to this is the ordinance that would be the budget amendment that would help authorize and enable the amendment to be covered by pay. We've had a lot of discussion among council. I think a lot of discussion even among employees. And I think before you, we still stand ready to answer any questions that you have about the proposal and the ordinance, the study, and then, of course, the subsequent ordinance to adopt the pay budget amendment.
Okay, thank you, City Manager. This time we'll have council discussion. Are there any comments or questions for the City Manager? Councilman Luby.
So I know I've done a lot of talking about this, and so I'll keep it short, but I've done a lot of research on it, and I've put numbers together, and I've done all, you know, I feel like that going to 85% is too much right now. Not that it might not be later, but at this point, I don't think we have all the data that we need to make a really an informed decision. We're missing the benefit part of the study, which they said they were going to start doing, even though they do have the, you know, the out-of-pocket cost, which I kind of used that in the equation when I was, when I made the amendment to reduce it to a 78%. But without all the data together, I think it makes it really hard to really know what the, how we're going to move forward and how it's going to affect the city forward. And with that, I think that it just needs a little bit more work. And I think that I would like to wait and see what they come back with on the rest of it and see if we can make a little better informed decision. So at this point, I can't really support this right now. We can always go forward, but we can't take away and go back. So, and I really don't want to reduce benefits. So I think I would like to get it right the first time. So I'm sorry, but it doesn't mean that I don't think you guys are valued and that I don't think you guys deserve a raise. I think you do. It's just, we just need to do it right, I think. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Anyone else? Councilman Coleman?
Yeah, like I said before, I think I'm glad that we did have a study. I believe that we need to have a change. But like earlier, I believe it's the fundamentals of it was a bit flawed. I don't agree with the comps on this. And again, it's only one component of the whole, everything in Title III. I'd rather see something more comprehensive to put something together. And I can't sit here and say, oh, I'd like to see this certain other percentile, because I don't even have the raw data to look at and say, well, what would that translate into wages? So I only had a linear view to look at to make a decision. And so I wouldn't be able to support this ordinance as written. I know there was some amendment made at last one. It didn't move. So doesn't seem like there's a lot of room for any changes here. So I'm not even going to try to present anything. I'd like to come back and reevaluate and look at this in a different way.
Councilman Coleman, thank you. Councilman Bell, then Tungo.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with the previous two councilors in the fact that what was presented to council here doesn't give us a full financial picture of what's going on or give us enough to make an informed decision on the total cost of any changes to this. What's not in here is, and is mentioned in the memo, is a 3.5% a cost of living adjustment. And this reference is in January to update the pay scale accordingly so we can keep it within a reasonable pay range, or so that we don't get so far behind. But what is that indicator that we're going to use? And what has been the historical percentage that indicator uses, if it uses a percentage, and what's that going to cost over time? We have a responsibility as council to get as much information to make these financial decisions as we can, and the pay matrix is only part of that complete financial decision. There's other things that are within Title III that I haven't necessarily agreed with, and the longevity bonus is one of them. I agree with the longevity bonus, but what I didn't agree with was the two-tier bonus, the way it was set up. That affects my decision if we're going to change that and make it equal across the board, as to whether or could affect my decision as far as a percentile to use. What was presented in the study, in the survey, did touch on the fringe benefits, the healthcare, and all that. And from what I took from that is that all those benefits are basically in the 100th percentile or at the very top of the range. Those benefits have value. I don't know what the exact dollar amount, but I would guess it's probably in the $35,000 range per year. That's not something to scoff at. But being at the 85, when it was presented what the pay scale is recommended at the 85th percentile, I didn't believe that, and I didn't understand that, or I guess I didn't, it wasn't conveyed very well that whether that 85th percentile took into account that that generous benefit package. We may be at the 85th percentile if we do this in wages, but we're at the top of the scale on benefits. 80th or 85th percentile, that's, still open for debate in my mind. But it needs to be part of a more comprehensive look at Title III. The other issue with what was presented was it's just a small snapshot of the whole title. And in looking through a bunch of the, other portions of Title III, it's hard to recognize whether there may be some unintended consequences with changing classifications and the pay matrix that is in conflict with what language is there that may need to be changed with this whole Title III, pay range increase.
you know, to belay the fears that, you know, this keeps going on, and you know, we don't get this pay increase. We can always go back and make an effective date at the beginning of March of this year or whatever, to belay those fears. But to get a more comprehensive Title III change, so that we're not revisiting this every couple months and just taking little bites of the apple. That's a good way to get unintended consequences because we didn't take it as a whole. So at this time, I'm not going to support this ordinance.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Tungle?
I'll be in full support of the staff recommendation. We waited over 10 years on this, and we got the study. We paid somebody to do a study to make sure we can compete and retain people in here for whatever we're going to offer. And what's the study for if we can't rely on it? But at the same time, we postponed this. Title III has been kind of ignored for past 10 years. And I think it's time for them to get what they deserve. And I think this one will make it better, and we can attract other employees from different places. Maybe we can do a better recruitment, and we can retain what we have. And I think this is a good start, and I'll be in full support of this.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle. Any further comment? Councilman Nicholson?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I as well would like to see more information on the benefit packages and on that stuff. And just as long as we could go back and get retroactive pay and stuff, that they won't be losing any money, that at least, you know, we can go back and pay them for the time lost. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Any further comment? Well, I'd like to say that this council has had the opportunity for the last 3 months, maybe 4 months, to review this package that was presented by a hired consultant. The recommendations were made, questions were asked, questions were in some cases were misunderstood by the council member or not properly transmitted, possibly, by the city management. But in reviewing some of the comments that we've had almost a year and a half, one thing that really sticks out in my mind is that there's a lot of employees within the city right now are working in minimum scale, pay scale. And what we're trying to do here and what this study did is try to bring up our employees to a level and be compatible with other businesses or in pay grades that they would be in to, I mean, it's almost 2013 was the last pay raise we did give in 2022, approximately a 2 or 3% increase in their wages, but that was all based on the prior contract done in 2022, and still didn't bring them up to the minimum. So I'm concerned that council members are asking for information that they could have and should have consulted or set up time to talk to finance about what these figures mean, the 185 percentile versus 178. Recommendation from the consultant was we could go up and down on that percentile, but he recommends that we do not because we'll get back to where we were approximately a year and a half, 2 years ago before they got the 2% increase. So that's my comments at this time. Be no further council discussion. City Clerk, is anyone signed up to provide public comment?
Yes, sir. We have Ms. Ruth Marquez.
Okay.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the council. My name is Ruth Marquez. I'm the office manager for the Department of Public Safety and City of Onalaska employee for the last 24 years. So tonight I am hopeful that the council will support Ordinance 2024-04. We Title III employees have been patient for this study and the result of this study to materialize. If I may remind you, the last wage study that the city did was back in 2013. So since 2013, with represented employees had the wage increases, cost of living, expenses paid, Title III employees, we haven't had any of those increases. So hopefully you'll keep that in mind. I believe that through the years, we've been proven our worth and also our loyalty to the city of Onalaska. And lastly, if you approve this tonight, Ordinance 2024-04, it will also benefit your current employee, not only your current employees, and also your future employees. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Anyone else signed up?
No, sir.
Okay. A request at this time that a roll call be made. Called.
Ms. Coleman?
No.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Nicholson?
No.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungel?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
No.
On a roll call vote of 4 nays and 2 yeses, with this vote, the council has not approved Ordinance 2024-04. Next item is Ordinance 2024-05, second reading, creating a budget amendment, number 5 to fiscal year 24 budget to increase the wages, fringe benefits, and associated State of Alaska PERS contribution for unrepresented employees. We have a motion and a second to adopt Ordinance 2024-05.
I make a motion to adopt Ordinance 2024-05.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungo and second by Councilman Longo. This time I'll turn it over to City Manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. So as I mentioned, and as we all know, this is the pair that goes with the Title III compensation study and classification study. I'm not certain whether a vote on this up means anything since there is no accompanying study that goes with it. I think that's more than needs to be said at this point.
Yeah, I understood that and I read it into the record only because I think it needs to be told. When 2024 did not pass, 2024-05 then is mute its point and call being no further discussion by council. I'll call for a roll call vote.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Nicholson?
No.
Ms. Luby?
No.
Ms. Coleman?
No.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Thank you for the roll call. We have 4 nays and 2 yeses. By this vote, ordinance 2024-05 has failed. Next item is a resolution 2024-07, acknowledging the closure and completion of the various capital projects and purchases. I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2024-07.
Move to adopt resolution 2024-07.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Luby. I'll turn this over to City Manager.
Thank you. So we have identified several projects that either we're not intending to move forward with and we're recommending to clean them off the book, or projects that, if I'm not mistaken, need further study. It was moving, I think, a total of $1.8 million, either back the bulk of it back to the general fund at $1.67 million, about $6,000 to the 1% fund. The Electric Enterprise Fund is $107,000. The Water Enterprise Fund, $39,000. And $52,000 to the Wastewater Enterprise Fund. And you can see the related list, if I can get it to come up, of the projects include the matrix of what project is returning what fund or multiple sources as they were funded, for example, to accounts. So I'll take questions if you have any. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Back to resolution 2024-07. Council discussion. Councilman Bell.
Yeah, I just want to make a quick comment. You know, the equipment storage building, I was all in favor of that because it does have some benefit. But you know, as it was proposed, not being able to fit all the equipment in there, it really kind of falls short. And yeah, we can go back to the drawing board at a later date.
I think I should add on that one, it was much more than what was put in for. It was over $3 million when we started looking at it, not the million and a half.
That's what happens when 1 year later, it's about two-thirds more in cost because of freight and cost of equipment and material. And that's not going to change for a while. Further comment? Councilman Coleman.
I just trying to get my legs under this for just a bit. So we had the fire training facility at $1.5 million. And that was set in budget in CMMP for several years. It was actually for 2024 to begin. And it looks like here on our most recent giant piece of paper here for 2025, it got moved for that year. So we're only, so how come we're not dealing with 1.5 million? And we also incorporated in that with is the, in the most recent FY25 is the building also, the what was supposed to be the remodel of the current fire station. So I guess it's just maybe more of a lesson, like why is it just 12,000 and not 1.5 that was designated for the fire training center?
I will have to get you an answer on that. I suspect we had study dollars or something and we didn't actually get capital dollars in that account. That's the only reason I could understand that, unless we have an error. Anyone? And obviously my public works director is not able to be here tonight. So I will get you an answer on that.
Okay, thank you.
Any further comment from council? Let's see. Is that city clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir. No one signed up.
Thank you. This time we'll request a roll call vote on 2024-07.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
With this vote, the council has adopted resolution 2024-07. Next item on our agenda is the council directives to city manager. Are there any directives that need to be made by motion and seconded with the roll call vote? Whoever's pointing at each other, go ahead.
I guess I would ask the city manager at this point, do you need a directive to bring back to council a comprehensive change to Title III?
I would suggest a directive, but I'd also suggest we take time to decide what that directive is, because I'm going to adhere to exactly what it is, and not any more or any less. I need to know what you want. Period. I mean, because it's not going to make a lot of sense to bring things back if it's not answering the questions all seven of you have. Or if then when I bring it, there's questions about why this, or I need it to be specific. If we need to take time to look at what other communities have done, if there's other models that you want, if you have other questions, I'd like to maybe, if we need to have someone facilitate this. The one thing I do not want to have is a failed effort and we're back at 2013. That's not what I'm about.
I agree. This has been a failed effort for the last year and a half. So, and I think both sides have some blame in this. I just want to know to work with the city manager on the best path to move forward so that we can get to something that we all can agree on. I don't know if there's any more comment from any other counselors.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Luby.
So I would like to see the rest of the study completed.
Would you like the raw data? I mean, the study's completed. You want the raw data?
So I was under the impression they were going to evaluate the benefits and compare them with other communities. Is that done?
Well, that's what I need to know.
Okay.
I mean, that's what you want.
Well,
there's six other of you.
Right. No, I'm just saying that when McGrath came and did their presentation, they said that they hadn't completed that part of it, from my understanding, and that they were going to start that process.
Margie, can you come up and speak to this, please?
And I might have misunderstood, but that was my impression, that they were still continuing on.
Hi, Margie Veter, Assistant City Manager. I believe the question is, you thought they said the benefits study had not been completed, and that's not the case. I think if you review the report, you'll see that they evaluated the benefits already, and that is included in the report.
So, and they compared that with other communities?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, then I did miss that part. I did see the part with the health benefits and the out-of-pocket costs and stuff, but I didn't see where they compared and what percentile are we at with that.
I believe in the report it says we're right at the top of all of our other comparables. I think there was one metric on health insurance that maybe we were the second one down. Okay. But other than that, the conclusion in the report is that we do a really good job with our benefits.
And so the study's complete. McGrath is not doing anything else.
Correct.
I would say, with the exception, we have asked them to help with preparing for PSEA negotiations.
That's a separate contract.
Totally separate.
Yeah. And
if that's getting mixed in here or not.
Okay. Now, she said that they were going to start something, and I'd have to go back and look again. But at what she said in her presentation, that when she was presenting to us, she said there that she was going to do the next part of this.
No, I don't believe that's the case.
Okay. Then I misheard what she said then. So, but I'll go listen anyway. Thank you.
It's a 42-page report that's pretty comprehensive with all of her findings.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Thank you, Marjorie.
Thank you, Margie.
Anyone else? Councilman Bell?
I guess to speak to the city manager there here, would a subcommittee of the council doing a work session be a beneficial way to move forward on this in your mind?
Well, there needs to be some sort of discourse. I'm not sure, based on the range of opinions and the range of comments, concerns, ideas, thoughts, last-minute additions, detractions, amendments, that it possibly could be three of you. That's up to you all if you want to produce a subgroup. But I suspect it might have to go back to a work session, and we can bring some of the information forward that you're looking for and then maybe add to it and kind of move forward that way. That's all I can think of right now.
Thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to throw that idea out there so it starts a conversation.
Councilman Coleman.
I think a subcommittee is a great idea. It doesn't involve everyone here, and I think we can get our ducks in a row a little bit better and formulate something to kind of move forward without taking up everybody's time. So maybe we can get some questions answered and come up with a little more better directive on where to go forward.
I don't know how to speak to this without talking to legal about whether this, what you're proposing, is appropriate for this kind of action. If you get four or more, as everybody knows, it's a quorum. You would only have three, which would be the majority that seemed to have the only real question about whether this should be passed or not, or just don't understand it. I don't know what else to say. I mean, this is mind-boggling to me what's happened.
Well, I guess then the other would be to schedule a work session, whether it be any regular council meeting or a special session.
I think a work session is more open, more transparent for the community and those people that are involved with this process we're dealing with. And so I don't know if that's going to solve it. Councilman Tungle.
So if you're going to do a work session, I'm pretty sure they're going to bring the same thing, the staff. So the discussion will be pretty much what we did in the past few meetings. Pretty much, maybe somebody got to sit down and visit the city manager and get a one-on-one question, and then we can do a work session after. I think that's pretty much get some ideas. Give your ideas to the staff or city manager to before the meeting. Then we can proceed with a discussion. Then work session. I mean, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tuggle. Councilman Coleman and Luby.
A subcommittee is very transparent. It's not anything done private, so it's just done with fewer people to resolve some issues and come up with a better plan to move forward.
And I would be in favor of subcommittee too. I think that, you know, it doesn't waste everybody's time if we can all just get together and kind of a negotiations, basically what do we need to do to move forward, because we do need to move it forward. I'm not saying that, you know, we shouldn't. We do need to do something, and we should move pretty quickly probably on it too. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go back to the directive. There was no second for a comprehensive report. We went right into discussion, so I don't know what the directive was. You continued your discussion without a second, so at this point, you need to redirect the or restate your directive, and we need to have it in a motion. Then clearly, I guess what we started off to, with discussion was, what is it you want?
I can make a motion if the mayor's continuing your discussion. Move to direct the city manager to bring to council a comprehensive change to Title III.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Bell, second by Councilman Coleman. Discussion, which we already had, which we came down to, went in circles. We're looking for a comprehensive study on restate. Yeah. Okay, the motion is to bring to the council a comprehensive changes to Title III. That's it.
Yeah, in order to facilitate a discussion here, I'm not sure that we've gotten whether from all our counselors, whether a process, if there's an agreement on a process forward.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman.
You said a subcommittee. What's that mean? Some council and staff, you know, they're discussing. Is that subcommittee that you're talking about?
So a committee of council would be three or less members. I mean, the committee would include, I believe, not just myself. I'd have to have certain members of my team, certainly my HR manager and assistant city manager. They were the ones who drove this study, worked with consultant.
So what happened if the other three councils are not involved on that one, agree with it?
I'd rather we, instead of giving me a directive, if I can put this forward, allow me an opportunity to speak with our own attorney, the legal attorney, to find out maybe the best way to move forward. How about, I mean, you all come in typically with questions, et cetera. I have somewhat of a feel for several of you, what your concerns are. It's not like, I mean, and the public should know, I've spoken with most of you about this at different times. It's not like you've suddenly had a surprise change of heart or issue. But it's hard to pull those all together incrementally. Like, for example, a comprehensive change, that's a whole lot of, I mean, that's like court talk, you know, what is fair and reasonable. Those are always fun words to use. I could bring you something that I think is comprehensive, and you're going to say, but what about this? So allow me an opportunity to speak with the attorney, speak with my team, look over notes of things, including even tonight, and see what I think would be readily available to at least have a discussion, and then you can respond to it. But I think if you want to have a committee, I'm fine with that. But you all have to decide what three that is. It's not certainly for me to decide that.
Councilman Bell?
It sounds like there's more than three that want to be involved and have input. And so a work session, I think, would be the proper way to go. I'm going to vote against my directive there. Simply made it to facilitate a conversation.
Any further comments on the directive? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for a roll call vote on directive.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Ms. Luby?
No.
Mr. Nicholson?
No.
Mr. Longo?
No.
Ms. Coleman?
No.
Mr. Tungle?
No.
The directive fails on 6 nays and 0 yeses. And call again. Are there, after the comments by the city manager, I would like for you to speak up a little bit so we can hear you on that end out there. When you asked for time to do talk to, then I lost it from there.
I'm sorry. I'd like to have time to speak with the attorney and our team members to see what I think kind of a proposal to try and get us past this point. And I think there could be, I've heard from a lot of you, different facets of this study that you liked, didn't like. I mean, there have been some, you know, real harbingers come out at strange times. You know, I'd rather we have an opportunity to reassess, talk with legal. I don't want to be, you know, having you all make motions at me and include things that maybe aren't the direction we'd want to go. And I can't say why. I don't know, frankly. Employment law isn't one of my strengths. So I'd like an opportunity to confer with legal and see exactly what they would recommend that I can bring back to you.
And well, I would thank do that. By the failure moment. Of the directives, then we'll need one to ask the city manager to do exactly what he said so we can get information back to the council that we need to have to move forward.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'd like to take a break, please.
Can we ask
you to have a break?
Did you make that a motion? Call to order. Back from recess at 7:20 p.m. We were discussing, at the time we left, we were talking about or proposing a directive to the city manager. Councilman Nicholson?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to reconsider my votes on Ordinance 2024-04 and 2024-05.
Motion to reconsider on votes on Ordinance 2024-04 and 2024-05 by Councilman Nicholson. With the second, I will ask for...
I second.
Seconded by Councilman Tungle. Discussion, and I'll ask Assistant City Manager or City Clerk, or City Manager to give us comments on moving forward with this reconsideration vote. Councilman Nicholson?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I was, when I made my votes, I was under the impression that we didn't have all the information from the people that did the study, and you know, hearing from the assistant city manager and everybody, we do have all the information, and there is nothing else out there to be presented by them. And at that point, you know, I'd like to change my vote.
Great, thank you. Any further comment on motion to reconsider? Hearing none, I'll call for a roll call motion to reconsider Ordinance 2024-05.
Mayor, it's not for, it doesn't go to vote. Motion to reconsider is automatic with a second.
So what?
It's automatic with a second.
Might be automatic.
Well, that's what I was asking earlier, but I don't think so. Okay, so moving forward, 2024-04 is now up for vote, and I'll call for a roll call on ordinance 2024-04.
Mr. Bell?
Point of order, Mayor.
What was that?
Point of order.
Point of order, what's your point?
Can we get a clarification on the motion to reconsider, whether it needs a vote or not? My notes say it needs a majority. What's that? The motion to reconsider. From my notes, it says that the motion to reconsider needs a majority vote. So we need, I think we need a clarification.
I'm going to ask for 5 minutes if we can. I'm going to get legal on the phone, and she's going to go grab notes. So thank you. Thank you for that brief recess, Mayor, Council, and for the public. I've asked our city attorney, Charles Cassiola, to join us. It's rather difficult because, of course, he wasn't present for some of the discussion. So I want to bring quickly review. Can you move up to the part of the agenda that we're at, please? Bring him up to speed on kind of what we're up to. So, Mr. Cassiola, the council has held the public hearing on ordinances 2024-04, amending the Code of Ordinances Title III to adopt a new pay range matrix and basis of pay rates, as well as 2024-05, creating a budget amendment to support those changes should they be voted through. And we had regular agenda items, and item A and B were item A. After discussion, the council voted for, against ordinance 2024-04, and two yay. And so we had another discussion about then ordinance 2024-05, which was not necessary since 2024-04 did not pass. Did we vote that down? So that was also voted down. Then there was a 5-minute recess at the request of a councilman. When we came back, Councilman Nicholson requested to reconsider agenda item, you know, A.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where we're at.
So a motion to reconsider can be made by any person who voted on the sort of prevailing side of the vote. So as the ordinance failed to pass, a motion for reconsideration would need to be voted for, need to be made by a council member who voted no on the motion.
Which is Mr. Nicholson.
So he can make a motion for reconsideration.
Then it was seconded, I believe, by council member Bong.
And was there a vote on the motion for reconsideration?
And that's where we left. We weren't sure whether we had to vote on it, or is it because it's a motion and a second, does it automatically happen?
I believe there needs to be a vote. I would need to refer to Robert's Rules of Orders, but I believe that there needs to be a vote.
So I got a question on that. Are we voting on the reconsideration, or are we voting on the actual ordinance if we do a vote?
The reconsideration, sir.
So essentially, if the motion for reconsideration passes, then the ordinance would essentially be back in front of you for debate.
Mayor, could you request the roll call vote from the clerk, please?
All right. Thank you, for that clarification. And with that being said, I'll call for a roll call vote on the motion to reconsider. Please.
Yes, Mayor. Ms. Coleman?
No.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Ms. Luby?
No.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of three yeses and three nays, my privilege to, at this time, to vote yes on this reconsideration on the resolution on the ordinances. I vote yes. That vote is 4-4 yes and 3 nay. Okay, we're back to ordinance 2024-04. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
For reconsideration discussion. Discussion. Councilman Bell.
I'll move to amend to set the wage range at the 80th percentile.
I'll second it.
At 80?
Yes, sir.
At 80th percentile. Instead of 85. And it was seconded by Councilman Luby. Discussion?
Yes, Mayor. As I discussed last council meeting, the wage or the fringe benefits that are part of this package, let me get the mic closer. are basically at the top of the scale. And that is a significant benefit of employment. And I think that wasn't necessarily taken into account when it was suggested that we set the pay range at the 85th percentile. Even with the pay range at the 80th percentile and taking into consideration the generous fringe benefit package, I think that is a more than fair compensation package. And outside of that conversation, we have not, as a council, gotten a full picture of the financial implications of reclassification and any adjustment or proposal that would keep the pay scale at market and the financial implications of that. So for those reasons, that's why I would support this amendment.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I would support the 80 percentile too. As you know, I tried to amend it at the last meeting to 78, and that is based on the benefit package, and there was solid data to back the 78%, so, but that didn't get support, but I would support the 80% as well. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Coleman?
I supported Ms. Luby's change when she made it 2 weeks ago. There's still some fundamental things that I feel like is not being dealt with, but, you know, to at least try to find some kind of common ground, possibly, I'm willing to change my position and support an 80%.
Thank you. Any further comment, Council? Okay. And I would like to say that I think most all the information that we have and recommended by management or city manager and his team was the number previously used as before is 86. Although I don't really see the, I don't understand the argument that some council members have of going from 80 to 86 without taking into consideration that we have people who have been living close to poverty line in regards to our other entities in this community that work and do the same work. So I'll leave it at that and see what I do. Any further comments? No? Call for Councilman Longo.
Yeah, I had a question on it. So I thought when we were presented the package that they said that the benefits, all the benefits were taken into consideration when they came up with the 85. Is that not the case? Did they not consider those? Or
Councilman, it was in the report and it was acknowledged that we have an excellent benefits package. And I think we all know, even as staff, that it's an excellent benefits package. And in conversations with a few of you that have questioned about that, I would prefer the discussion that we're having in terms of at the 80th or the 85th percentile versus trying to start opening up insurance. Because I'm concerned once we do that, we'll constantly go down and then you have a bunch of balls that we're juggling. We're making changes to insurance, we're making changes to pay, and then it's a round and round. So I appreciate the questions. I appreciate the discussion. And I appreciate what it looks to be like trying to maintain the generous benefits package, which is important.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments? Councilman Luby.
I have one question for you. Do you support the 80%?
Suddenly I'm in the hot seat. I support increases for the staff. I don't have a preference between the 80 or 85th or the 75th, but I do look at what the consultant did for us and the amount of information that was put in front of you. So I support what you guys vote on. What I also support is I think there are some questions and some work that we need to do to give you what you need. And if you change your vote on this, it doesn't negate that. So I still think that I need to do some work to bring you guys information. And I'm happy to do that. I just want to be clear on what I'm bringing so it meets everyone's needs and levels this picture so that we have a discussion about item A and J, K in an orderly way instead of kind of how we've had it. Maybe it's because we don't do this often up here. You know, most of the negotiations that we do with our labor organizations happens outside of these meetings. This is almost turned into a, you know, one of those negotiations, and it's not what we typically do here in this room with you all. So I respect the pressure that you're dealing with and the questions that you have.
Thank you. I appreciate that answer, actually. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Councilman Luby. Councilman Longo?
That's to kind of go back to my question that I had there with your answer. So they considered the benefits and they still recommended the 85% for wages. So that they took into consideration those and still recommended the 85.
They did. But, you know, this is a consultant and that's a consultant's job. It makes it's hard. It wouldn't be easy for me to do that. Then I am stuck in the middle. So that's why we do these studies. And it's the role of a consultant, a planning consultant. It's the role to come in and look at the hard questions about zone changes or developments so that then you have that material in front of you to make the decision. But it's their recommendation. It's your decision. And you always have to remember that.
Great. Thank you. Any further comments? Councilman Nicholson?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Thank you for letting us go through this vote again. This is something that, you know, we want to make sure that we retain all of our employees, especially ones that have been here, you know, 10 plus years without raises and stuff. So, you know, I am still in firm support of the 85 percentile. Thank you.
Thank you. Further questions? Further questions? Comments? Well, hearing none. What we have before us is amendment made by Councilman Bell, seconded by Councilman Luby, to amend the percentile to 80% under Ordinance 2024-04. Take a roll call vote on the amendment.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Longo?
No.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
No.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
No.
On a roll call vote of three yes and three no, the mayor votes no. The amendment fails 4-3. Back to the main question. Ordinance 2024-04 for reconsideration. Vote. Roll call, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
We
already have a vote.
Mayor, the motion to reconsider puts the motion back on the table at the same pace it left off and is open for discussion.
Had it on the table and you amended it. Now we're back to the main discussion.
On the main motion?
On the main motion.
Okay.
That's what we're on now.
Okay.
Not the amendment.
I understand that.
Okay. So. I thought you were calling back the amendment.
No. No, you were proceeding with a roll call vote. Yeah, without an opportunity for discussion on
sure.
The main motion.
Right, I will. I'll allow. Discussion on 2024-04 reconsideration. Councilman Bell.
So, as we ended off on 302 contract discussions and the votes on those, we knew moving forward that we were going to be looking at Title III because it had been 3 years since that title had any review. And at the time, at least for this counselor, the source of information that was used to determine the percentile that was used in the 302, I didn't necessarily have any reservations on using the same source. However, the CMO's office, the interim city manager at the time, disagreed with that and requested and lobbied the council that what we needed to do was to commission a compensation study. So, you know, the comment that this came from council is inaccurate. The compensation study did come from the CMO's office, and yes, then the council did agree with that process. At any point, the council could have made a directive to the city manager to move forward with any changes in the pay rates. So, you know, there's a lot of back and forth here on who could have done what and how we could have shortened the time on this. You know, from my point of view, I think that the whole compensation study, the RFP and all that may have taken a little bit longer than it needed to. And from my perspective, and this will be my perspective, is that there wasn't an urgency or enough of an urgency to move forward with that compensation study and get this taken care of. Yes, we did do a 10% increase. And at the time, I didn't necessarily disagree. I did disagree, but I didn't necessarily disagree because it was an interim move to get some relief because of the rising cost of living in Unalaska. But it still did take more time than I think was reasonable to get to this point here. When that budget amendment was put forward in front of council, it had no backup to it, had no information. We didn't have any information as to why or to justification why the 10% until multiple council members asked for that justification, and we finally got that information. That kind of soured the whole process in my mind right off the bat. That just seemed like, here, council, pass this and we'll worry about the rest of it later, which is not a way to do any of this. But here we are again with a different ordinance change and a budget amendment. And this ordinance, the way it was presented here, misses on some key points, which are financial points, so that we don't necessarily have the whole picture. We only got part of the picture of the elephant here. And having the full financial picture is a responsible way to move forward on this and not piecemeal it for the next 6-8 months or however long it seems to drag out, you know. The whole idea that we need to get this done now, I would like to get it done sooner than later, but we can always go back and make an effective date back to this date or any other date to give us that opportunity to do a comprehensive change to Title III that takes into account all the financial factors that are part of this ordinance change. I think I still have to stand on my vote and say no on approving this ordinance change as presented. We can come up with something better and in the end not necessarily affect or delay any wage increases. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Further discussion? Okay, thank you. This time I'll call for a roll call on Ordinance 2024-04.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
No.
Ms. Luby?
No.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
No.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 3 yes, 3 nays, the mayor votes yes, making 4 yes, 3 nay for passage of Ordinance 2024-04. Next item is the Ordinance 2024-05, which is second reading, creating a budget amendment number 5 to fiscal year 2024 budget.
I'm sorry. Before you can discuss that, don't we need someone to bring that back if you're going to? Oh, we did. I'm sorry. Thank you. I stand corrected.
Part of the original motion for bring it back on table, reconsideration. Both of these were.
Yeah.
So at this time, I'll ask any discussion, city manager?
I don't have any. I'm just trying to get my own facts in order where we're at right now, but I'm good, sir.
Thank you. Council, discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for a roll call on 2024-05, Ordinance 2405, creating a budget amendment number 5.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
A roll call vote of six yes, zero nay. This council approved ordinance 2024-05. Okay. Where we left on, we're just getting ready to do community input.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Community input. Sorry, everybody's leaving. Community input and announcement. This final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements.
Hi, I'm Lynn Crane. You say if I forgot to mention something. A couple years ago, I don't remember if it was the end of FY21 or the end of FY22, you gave USAID permission to hold over some money to do interior painting at the shelter. And because of COVID and some other complications, we were not able to do that for a long time. But we finally had it done, and it looks really nice. It's been really nice to be able to brighten the place up, and we hope to have an open house later this year. So I just wanted to say thank you again for allowing us to do this, to do that and to help us maintain our beautiful building. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else with community announcements? Is no, there anything anything by telephone or Zoom?
No, sir.
No written statements?
No written statement.
Okay. At this time, need that motion read on executive session.
I make a motion to move into executive session to discuss matters which, if discussed in public, could harm the reputation of a person, and which, if immediately disclosed, would tend to adversely affect the finances of the city. Present in the executive session will be the mayor, city council members, and the deputy city manager.
Thank you. I need a second.
Second.
Councilman Longo seconds. We'll have a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
A roll call vote of six yes and zero nays. We are now in executive session at 7:56.